Fox.
WildTalkRadio.com. Theme song.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3. It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room.
How you know?
I love kickball.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Death, death, death!
Did somebody say my name?
I'm trying to have a peaceful talk show, right? I'm not trying to have one of these talk shows at all that end in brawls and fights and everything like that.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
As long as it takes to get what's rightfully mine.
And I won't be denied, 'cause all I've got left is my
gun. Back right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBD1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. Also, a huge hello to the folks listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer, /co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin.
We are here, we are live, across the airwaves at Wild Talk Radio Network. You can listen to the show on all the places she mentioned. You can follow us on Twitter, at Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio, and at Lindsay Ward, to join in on the conversation, because we have a lot to converse about tonight, including a special guest.
That's right. Later in the show, we will be joined by the legendary Pat Patterson. He's going to be talking to us all about his brand new book, which comes out in August. You don't want to miss that. We also have news per the norm. We have NXT, where we will be talking all about the epicness that was Finn Balor versus Shinsuke Nakamura. And we're talking about the draft.
We're talking about the draft, everyone. Oh my God, I can't wait. I am so geeked up about this draft. Oh my God, the coverage. Oh my God, all the trades and draft picks and all this fun stuff. Can't wait for the draft. It's going to be amazing.
You can tell which one of us is really excited about the brand split, right?
No,
You can tell which one of us really likes it.
No, here's... Did I say I like the brand split? No. I said I'm geeked up about the draft.
But the draft means the brand split.
I love drafts except for hockey and baseball because they're boring as anything. But drafts are fun. I know. This is... Okay. Everyone has their Pokemons and everything else. I like drafts.
You're so weird.
Okay. And your point is what?
I'm not making a point. I'm just stating a fact. You're weird.
Okay, and yeah, I know, I'm weird. We all know this.
We are getting weird in our weirdness here on the rack.
I was just going to use that line, one brain. Anyway, moving on, let's get into the news presented by Gerwick.net and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans.
Well, we have to drop the biggest story of the week, which was announced today. Yes, we will get to Brock Lesnar. I promise we're going to talk all about that. But we have to talk about the big news coming out about WWE 2K17. And that is announced that they are taking pre-orders for the game and it's in its very special edition. It's the NXT edition of WWE 2K17.
So, with this new 2K17 NXT edition, which is available now for pre-order, you get exclusive packaging, the NXT Enhancement Pack, which features playable superstars Shinsuke Nakamura, Nia Jax, and Apollo Crews, all three first-timers in the game. You get 50% more points at the NXT In My Career mode. You get an exclusive canvas-to-canvas lithograph designed by WWE artist Rob Schomburger.
And it's signed by Shinsuke Nakamura.
I was just getting to that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I just like how he's WWE artist Rob Schomburger.
He's their artist and residence man, and we've had him on the show three times.
Yep, we knew Rob Schomburger before he took off.
We interviewed Rob Schomburger before he took off because somebody is a really big fan on this show, and I was like, I want to interview Rob Schomburger, and Rock's like, why? Because I'm a fangirl of the Schomburger, as I sit here and look at the print that I have on the wall. It's so pretty.
It will also come with an exclusive 8-inch Demon Finn Balor collectible figurine, exclusive NXT Tops TakeOver London card, which has a piece of the NXT London mat in it, part of the ring canvas. Each card will feature one of the 14 superstars from the event. Each superstar's card will have one of 10 different rarity levels. And it's all yours for $100.
You know, honestly, considering what all comes in that...
It's a deal.
It's a deal.
Like, the Shinsuke autograph is worth, like, $50 on its own.
Yeah. Well, it's a Schomburger print with an autograph, and seeing as he sells those on shop for anywhere from $50 to $100. Yeah.
And then the Finn Balor collectible, that's about $20 on its own.
Yeah.
So you get a big deal for $100, including the game and everything like that. You also get the pre-order for Goldberg as well, all available right now for pre-order, the WWE 2K17 NXT Collector's Edition celebrating WWE and NXT, which is pretty cool.
I think it's really cool that they're highlighting NXT. They choose to highlight something every year. This year, they're choosing to highlight NXT. I think that's awesome. You know, I think they've all deserved it. I know a lot of people complained last year that NXT wasn't a part of the game, really.
As much, it was lacking certain people from NXT.
Sasha Banks.
Charlotte.
Becky Lynch. Bayley.
Just to name a few.
You know, the four horsewomen. But yeah, this year they are going to be in the game. I think it's really cool. It should be noted that these are not very, very limited, but they're limited. I think there's only about 40,000 of them.
50,000 copies.
50,000 copies, and I think 40 have sold.
Have
they? Something like that.
Have they already?
I think I saw Schomburger put out something saying there were only like 10,000 left or something like that.
That fast? Wow, that's huge.
Hold on, I can...
I'm heading to his Twitter right now.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to his Facebook. It's like, hold on, because I saw him put it out. Live Googling right here on the rack.
Research, we're doing the research right here on the show. But to tie into all this...
I got it. So, WWE 2K tweeted out, "Hey Shinsuke Nakamura, how does your wrist feel after signing 40,000 of these for the WWE 2K NXT edition?" And it's the picture of him, only 10K left.
Okay, so he's 10K left to sign.
Okay.
That's what it was. He signed 40,000 of those photos already.
God, how would you... God. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can. Because people have done it. Austin's done it, and a bunch of others have done it. It's like, that's a lot of work.
I guess you have to do it in phases. I don't know.
Yeah, you do. They give you stacks, and you just have to, stack after stack after stack.
That's right, because Taker did it last year.
Was it last year? Or it was a couple years ago, I think.
It was a couple years ago, and it was like, we're not going to have you sign at Access this year because you just had to do like 50,000 signatures.
Yeah.
You're good.
You're good. You're good on that one. So it's available for pre-order right now. So there you go. To go along with this, we mentioned the Topps card. Topps and WWE have launched WWE Slam, the digital trading card app for your smartphone devices. It's interesting. I haven't figured it out quite yet. I guess you trade cards with people. I guess that's a thing. I don't know. I was doing it as we were getting the show set up before. It's like, I got R-Truth. Anyone need an R-Truth? I can give you an R-Truth to trade with me.
Yeah. We're still working on it. Seems like a cool idea. It's currently in the WTR Research and Development Department. We'll let you know as it progresses whether it's cool or not.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
My supercard team, though, is doing amazing.
I saw that. You got a Becky Lynch.
I got a Becky Lynch. I got a WrestleMania Roman Reigns. You know, as you do.
Like you do.
Like you do. The same.
And like you do. Well, Brock Lesnar made his triumphant return to UFC this past Saturday night to much uproar. And, well, he won, but it was kind of in unspectacular fashion.
It was very Brock Lesnar. Lesnar-esque, as it were. Lesnar-esque, as it were. Because he's not... All of his fights were never, oh, I'm just going to smash you, right? He's not a stand-up fighter. He's a grappler. He's a ground-and-pound who's going to take you down to the mat and just beat on you that way. And they mentioned in the commentary during the fight that, you know, he's trying to pound on the Samoan head. As we all know from wrestling, those Samoan heads, they be tough.
Yeah. Well, but Hunt's a striker.
Hunt is a striker, and that was what everyone was worried about. Brock goes in, he could get caught. There was one time in the first round where he did hit him with a hard shot and took him down to a knee. But Brock was able to quickly gather himself and get right back up. But that's why everyone's like, Brock's the underdog. Brock could lose this fight. But Brock got his takedowns. He was a little rusty in certain parts. But he got the job done. It was a great fight. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I mentioned this, excuse me, on TV radio.
You're right.
As you heard me choking.
You can't choke live on air.
It's mentioned on TV radio. I expect him to fight again.
Oh, yeah.
I expect him to actually probably fight in November. I expect him to be in the Madison Square Garden show as his next fight. Because he's now ranked, I believe number 9 or 8 in the world in the UFC rankings. So it's one of those things. He's not done in any shape or form. And he'll continue to be tested, though, by USADA until he says, I'm done.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's back in it now. So it's... The thing for him is that's going to make it difficult is he has to get tested by the board and USADA anytime he wants to switch. So if he wants to go back to wrestling, he has to get tested by the state commission to make sure he's in physical readiness to wrestle. And then if he wants to go back to UFC, he's going to get tested by USADA, so...
No,
I think
it's not if he goes back to UFC. He's in UFC. He's in UFC currently. So until he says, I'm retired, and fills out the paperwork, he's going to get tested randomly, even as he prepares for wrestling. So if he's doing anything, he can't do anything. He's going to continue to be tested, and he has to let them know exactly where he is at all time. They're really serious about that. But what do you think of the fight? Besides, it was a little letdown.
I mean, that's just it. I guess I was expecting it to be more... Just given Hunt's reputation of being a striker and just from what we've seen from Brock in wrestling, I know it's not the same thing, but it's... I guess I expected it to be much more physical than it was. And to me, I like a more physical fight when I watch UFC, which isn't a lot. I'm not a huge UFC fan. I can't speak to it. But I've watched enough of it where it's like, okay, you know, I kind of get how this works. It's a fight. Two guys punch each other or submit each other or whatever, and somebody generally bleeds.
Some of the best parts of the fight we watched together was like, he's pinned, he's down for the three, count the three.
No, it's like, no, it was, Brock, you don't pin in this! Brock, get up, you don't pin him in this!
Because he had him down a couple times like that.
He did, he actually had him pinned a couple times, but I guess for me I was expecting more striking, more grabbing, because they did... defense. There was a lot of defense in this fight where they were kind of just like dancing around and swatting at each other. Mm-hmm. And it's like, come on, somebody just hit someone. Just once. Just in the face. Somebody just, come on.
Throw a shot.
In the face.
And then when Brock got him down, he would just pound on his head. He was trying to break open the coconut.
Oh yeah. Brock would take him down, and Brock had some beautiful takedowns in this fight. And it's like knees to the side, fists to the head. He was just like, if Brock could get him down on the ground and pin him down on the ground, Brock could get some great shots in. But the rest of the time, it was just kind of like them dancing and like swatting at each other. And it's like, eh. And it went to a decision. I wanted a KO. I just wanted somebody to just get the crap knocked out of him and a KO.
Yeah, we all wanted a knockout on that one. But we did not get the knockout.
Not in that fight. The next fight, on the other hand.
Oh, that was a knockout, for sure.
That was damn.
Yeah, that was an oh my god that did Misha take it. Her butt whooped in that one, busted nose, and all that fun stuff. Yeah.
So, hope Misha Tate's feeling better, but damn.
Amanda Nunes is the new bantamweight champion.
This is why you do not screw with girls, okay? You just, if you ever want to think about screwing with a girl, just watch the women in UFC. That's generally how most women fight. Not professionally like that, but women are like 6 times as vicious as men, and we generally go for the face. Just remember that, okay? Everybody cool? But speaking of UFC, because this was the other huge story that got announced, Monday after UFC 200, I should say, it was announced, or confirmed, depending on which way you want to look at it, that UFC is going to be sold for $4+ billion.
To the talent agency WMEIMG, the Farina brothers own 81% of the company. They're still retaining a small ownership stake in the company, but they have sold a majority of their percentage. No one knows how much, but that's a lot. For the $4 billion. So there's new ownership. Dana White sold his ownership stakes, but bought back in. So he cashed out, made $360-something million. Bought back in at a certain rate, so probably didn't have to, you know, give back all the money. And he's signed a 5-year contract with them where he earns a percentage of the profits. I believe that's how it's working. I'm not exactly sure what the percentage is, but he's going to get a lot of money.
Yeah, the money he paid in to get his shares back, he's going to get right back.
He's going to get, yeah. So that's going to be awesome for him. This was a story we talked about a few weeks ago that was sort of in the works. But, you know, everyone was denying it. Dana White was denying it. Everyone was denying it. But once you already, you know, put everything up for sale and you have a group doing it, yeah, you're selling.
Well, generally, once it gets to the rumor stages that it's going to be sold, it's going to be sold. Mm-hmm. That's how business works, is once it starts getting out to the general public that's going on, it's happening. And I applaud them for trying to keep it quiet. I applaud them for trying to keep it secret until UFC 200, because, you know, you have the triumph that was that show, despite all the setbacks that show had. I think Dana White was never happier than to get past Saturday, and then you announce the sale.
Yeah. So he signed a 5-year deal and will earn 9% of the company's net profits.
That's not too shabby.
Yeah. So this deal gives Dana White incentive to further grow the business instead of having a locked-in salary. And remember, White and the Farina brothers bought the business in January of 2001 for $2 million.
That's a tiny little profit.
Just a little bit. I think they may have made a pretty good percentage back on it. Just
a tad.
Just saying.
But, and also tying into UFC, AJ Lee, wife of UFC fighter CM Punk, who, by the way, debuts for UFC in September in Cleveland, announced that she is releasing her first book. The first book of former WWE superstar AJ Lee, aka AJ Mendez Brooks, will be released on 4/4/17, titled Crazy Is My Superpower, How I Triumph by Breaking Bones, Breaking Hearts, and Breaking the Rules. So, she's written this herself. Should be exciting. Should be an interesting read. I'm curious.
I'm kind of curious to see what happens in this book. So, we'll see.
So, yeah. So, keep an eye out. April of next year, AJ Lee book. Yay! And, well, speaking of New Horizons, because I have no other tie-in, John Cena has inked a new deal.
It's a reality deal with Left Field Entertainment, the people who helped put together American Grit. He is going to be the executive producer on some reality series. Maybe he'll be in one, who knows, beyond Total Bellas and Total Divas. But he's now sort of venturing out just like The Rock has. Rock has $7 entertainment. He's now part of Left Field Entertainment. It's only a matter of time before John Cena pulls away from WWE. Except he'll never leave because he made a big stink about The Rock leaving. So John Cena will never leave. He just may not wrestle every single week.
He's going on vacation. A lot.
He's taking his weekends off.
He's taking his weekends off. Well, I mean, honestly, if anybody's earned it in that company, it's John Cena. Let's be real. He's barely missed a show in the last 10 years. He's worked through injuries, holidays, birthdays, divorces, you name it. he's been there no matter what. He's been their number one guy. So it's like, honestly, if he feels he's done everything that he could do and he feels ready to move on, why not?
He has sacrificed having children for this business.
Yeah. I mean, he had a triumph last night where he hosted the ESPYs. He did an amazing job.
He was awesome. Flat out, he was awesome as a host. He did a great monologue. He did some nice comparisons between sports and WWE. And he told some good jokes. So he had some good writers. He told some good jokes. He's very fitted for that role. And he's doing another award show soon, I believe. Teen Choice, I believe?
Yeah, I think he's doing Teen Choice next.
Yeah, so that's in a couple weeks. So John Cena is venturing out into other projects. Because let's face it, 15 years wrestling, you kind of done it all.
He's done it all, but also he's got neck problems. He's got probably got back and shoulder problems, probably got knee problems. He's probably got body problems just from everything he's done in his career. So why not take a little break from wrestling, let his body heal up? He stays relevant by doing reality TV, by doing hosting gigs, by doing appearances. So it's kind of a win-win for him. He doesn't miss any time. He kind of gets to keep his spot, as it were. And he lets his body rest and heal up and recover. So he's staying busy, because I think that's ultimately what it is for him, is it's not so much he has to constantly be wrestling. He has to be on the top. He has to be doing something. The man does not believe in downtime. Pretty sure he doesn't sleep. Gonna have to ask Nikki Bella on that.
He sleeps, but not in the sense we think.
He hibernates, like he just, you know, you stick him, you plug him into a charging cord, and in like 20 minutes he's done.
Alright, I'm not going to tie the two things in my head that I could tie things together with, but we'll move on.
Moving on, because, well, John Cena gave The Rock crap for acting, but, well, I think The Rock's having the last laugh because he was named the highest paid actor in Hollywood.
That's pretty awesome.
That's impressive.
He's one of the hardest working men in Hollywood. He does, like, everything. Like, he does TV, he does a reality series, he has a YouTube thing, he does movies. He does it all. He never stops.
Never.
Never. Ever. Stops.
Well, again, you want to be the top guy, you gotta bust your butt. You gotta be the busiest working man in Hollywood, and he proved it.
Which is why he's getting a star in the Hall Walk of Fame next year.
That's gonna be so cool.
That's gonna be awesome.
But yeah, so congratulations to The Rock on that. Quick TNA note, brought to you by friends over at TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. It was announced that Moose has signed with TNA. He debuted on last night's Impact. Tuesday's Impact. Well, I don't even know what day it's on anymore. It keeps moving.
Which movie?
It's like SmackDown keeps moving and Impact keeps moving, and I can't keep straight. I know at one point it used to be on Wednesday.
It's been on Tuesdays. And now it's coming to Thursdays.
It's been on like every night of the week, I think.
It has. Except for Sundays. Because Sundays are pay-per-views.
I guess I can't. They keep moving the damn show. Stop moving the TV shows! I can't keep up.
Impact Wrestling will lead into The Rock every Thursday night going forward.
No.
It is. No, it's deleted.
We're not covering it.
I
am not doing any more write-ups on Impact. I am done with that.
No, I never said you had to. I said there are lead-in. They air before us. That's all it meant.
I know, but still, not no more recaps.
Brother, 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 sister, mother, Mary, brother, brother, brother.
Oh my god. I have horror. I have, like, flashbacks of horror at recapping Hulk Hogan. Oh my god.
Brother, 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 brother. Brother. Brother.
I got to the point where it's like, I can't do this anymore. Somebody else has to do this. It got to the point where it was literally Hulk Hogan spoke.
Brother.
Brother. That was the recap. Because I just could not keep up and take notes. Because I missed everything.
It's very hard to keep up with all the brothers.
It is. Lost count. Especially if you take shots every time he says it.
You're wrong in like 2 seconds. You're kind of, screwed on that one, because, you know...
Oh, brother, 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 brother.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean. So on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we are talking about the epicness. That was Finn Balor versus Shinsuke Nakamura on last night's NXT. You don't want to miss it, so you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. We'll be right back. There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It has returned.
I am looking for Sarah Khan. Oh God, wrong house.
This is so not safe.
WTR Riffs presents the final deletion.
Oh my God, there's like an army of drones.
Ah.
Oh dear God.
That's not the kind of riding you're supposed to do on a lawnmower.
Jeff,
no.
Okay, I'm starting to think that these guys have more money than sense.
What am I looking at?
Jeffrey Nero, what are you doing?
Oh, this is a bad idea. This is a really bad idea.
Why do you always try to kill your brother with fireworks?
Available now at wildtalkradio.com.
Thank God, it's over.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rant. And you're listening to the greatest rant on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. If you're just joining us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for joining us. You missed our epic news segment, but coming up is Pat Patterson and Draft Talk. But now, that music can mean one thing, because I love Shinsuke's theme so much. We were talking NXT.
And it opened with Samoa Joe, the NXT champion, coming to the ring. He said he was there for a few reasons. First and foremost, to witness Finn Balor versus Shinsuke Nakamura. He said that he has a feeling that that's why most people are here tuning in tonight. And can't blame him, because, well, you know, it's a good match, but the implications of the match are an insult to him as champion. He said Finn and Shin think the winner becomes the number one contender for the championship, but that's a fantasy. Joe said some people think Finn will win and challenge Joe again, but Joe slayed him already and is the undisputed NXT champion. He took down the demon. Joe said others think Shinsuke will win and earn his first NXT title shot. He said that the reality is that Joe was the guy who brought Strong Styles to the States, and if Nakamura thinks he's the king, he can step up and end up in a heap like everyone else. Joe said that he's the man and he's a warrior. He said that anyone who wants to be anything around here has to go through him. And out came Rhino, who the fans were chanting, "Vote for Rhino," since he's running, I believe, in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Rhino said that if Joe thinks anyone on their way to the top has to go through him, then he's going right through him. A stare down before Joe left. Once on the ramp, he said that he'll beat Rana's ass on his terms, and that's where things were left. Good little start.
Good little start. Enjoyed it. It's the nice opening where basically Joe's putting his two cents in. You're setting up the feud with Rhino. This was a really simple show, so just to get your champion on there was good. It was great. Joe cut a really powerful promo. I liked it.
I thought it was good. Next week, Bayley versus Nia, Alphas versus Authors of Pain, and Samoa Joe versus Rhino. Next week. Should be a fun show next week.
I'm looking forward to it because, you know, somebody debuted.
Well, he doesn't debut next week.
No, but points!
Coming soon.
Coming soon. It pays to be rude. So, next!
It's the only thing happened on the show.
It's the only thing that happened on the show, as it really should have been. I mean, this was a pay-per-view WrestleMania level match between two phenomenal talents in Finn Balor and Shinsuke Nakamura. Holy crap. I need about three more of these.
We had dueling Nakamura, let's go Finn chants. We had both these guys chants. There was one point where Balor did the too sweet to Nakamura's forehead, which was funny. I don't think Shinsuke liked that so much. Part of the match had Finn Balor focusing in on the leg of Shinsuke Nakamura, had him in the leg lock, and just sort of wore down the leg. And then it got really, really, really good. False finishes, the attempted coup de grace, the attempted everything. This was great. It was hard hitting. And this was a WWE-style Nakamura-Balor match. And it was great. Like, Finn would go for the double dropkick, or not the double dropkick, the shotgun dropkick into the corner. You know, Nakamura would move out of the way. It had everything. We had the Kinshasa to the back of the head, but Balor was able to kick out, which caught everyone by surprise. We had the fall of 1916, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I just call it Bloody Sunday because that's what it was called. But we had the double knee strike from the top rope and then the Kinshasa for the win, Shinsuke Nakamura. This was great.
Like I said, this was fantastic. This was everything you could ever ask for the match and then some. This is perfect. And it was a beautiful send-off for Balor. It was the dream match. It was whatever. Like I said, it was just, you can't argue with this. This is perfect.
This was indeed perfect. They had a great match. They gave them 20 minutes. But the whole show was basically this match. And the Samoa Joe promo. But that's all it needed to be. Because if you're going to put on this level of match, you don't need five other matches in this. Make this the focus. You make Finn's farewell the focus. And that's what basically this was. This was his send-off to the main roster and putting Shinsuke over in the process.
Yeah, this is the passing of the torch from Finn to Shinsuke, where it's now Nakamura's NXT. It's now Joe's NXT. Finn is on his way up to the main roster, and now they're taking over. We're seeing that turn in the roster start to happen. So,
we assume it's their NXT because anything can happen in the draft, but yeah, for now it's going to be Joe and Nakamura, at least for the next month or so.
At least for the next month, up until the next set of tapings for sure, but yeah, I couldn't ask for anything more than this other than I would love to see this on a bigger stage with more time. I mean, it's like, I think the one thing that I loved about this match was it didn't matter to them that They were in the Full Sail Arena, which is nothing to cry at all. But it's like whether they're in front of 100 people or whether they were in front of 100,000 people, it didn't matter to them because they just went out there and had the match that they wanted to have with each other. And that's what made this really special to see. I always love it when in the rain together because you know you're going to get something super special.
And that's what you got out of these two. And I would love to see. God, imagine this match, them doing this type of match in front of 20,000 people, 60,000 people at WrestleMania. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Can you just shut up?
Shut up and take my money, as the old phrase goes.
Well, I think they would have put on the exact same match. That's the thing, but it's like just the atmosphere around it.
That's what I mean, just the atmosphere of it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, this was perfect. This was a wonderful send-off for Balor. This was a great moment for Nakamura. He looked great. Balor looked great. I mean, it's just, yeah, this was well done on all fronts.
We are pointing in the right directions for certain people, and this was the end for Finn. It's, his time is up. It's time for him to move up to the main roster in the draft.
He and the Demon are coming.
And we'll talk all about that, where we think he'll go after the break.
Yay! Can't wait! Because I'm so excited. Can you tell? So, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And like the man said, when we come back, we are going to be doing Draft Talk and Tweet of the Week. And also, don't forget, later in the show, Pat Patterson, you don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience. Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
It was this past Sunday. A plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, now.
Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree.
Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the Real American. You all
I'm
pick.
Going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making predictions. I seen him too in action, and I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny.
Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. As luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked three. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God. You did work it out.
I believe he changed his answer, Rock.
Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you.
I told you I'm my own worst enemy.
I'm coming. Just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett, the king of the mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Rack Radio Show.
Back right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And if you're just joining us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for joining us. You missed the news, you missed the NXT recap, but you are just in time for Tweet of the Week.
I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Side note, stay tuned because coming up after this segment is Pat Patterson, so you don't want to miss that. Forgot that plug. Got to get that in there. So, Big E, can't tell you how many times I started looking for a news story on Twitter and ended up spending an hour and a half looking at SpongeBob memes. Daryl tweeted New Day and said, "What do I do if my dad keeps being sour every time we see you on the TV show?" To which Big E replies, "Ditch him and start all over. Can't be that hard to find a proper father figure." Tommaso Ciampa, "I want to live in a world where Orton jumps in the octagon during Lesnar versus Hunt and hits an RKO out of nowhere."
One.
Same, Tommaso. Same.
So we're at one.
Tyler Breeze. Breeze fact. "Luke Harper thinks he's a better hockey player than me." He's wrong. Gary Williams tweeted, "Sheamus, are we rich?" Sheamus replied, "Can't put a price on friendship, brother. Saying that, you owe me $5. Xavier Woods, "There are no Pokemon at the Wyatt compound." I repeat, there are no Pokemon at the Wyatt compound. No one should ever go there. To which Luke Harper replies, "Maybe there was." Sheamus, 3 million followers. Boom. "I feel a speech coming on. No, no. It's wind. Thanks for all followers." Or thanks for all the follows, followers.
Fella.
Fella.
Fella!
Cinnabon to Chris Jericho. "We're the boss of frostings, dictator of flavor, Ayatollah of cinnamon rolla, but second to you, see you at WWE Battleground." To which Jericho replies, "I'm awaiting the first Jeroboam." Bailey tweets a picture to Sasha Banks saying, "Oh, hi, Sasha Banks," and it's her, and I don't know who that is. That makes me a horrible wrestling fan. But a very handsome Japanese man, we'll go with that. To which Sasha Banks replies, "I hate you."
That's Kota Ibushi.
Ibushi, thank you. I couldn't remember his name.
I had to go to Twitter and find out. Yeah, Kota Ibushi.
Sasha likes the Japanese guys.
She likes her Asians.
Yeah, she's into it. And that's all I got. All
right, Vanguard, EC3. Vanguard 1 is more of an asset to the roster than Matt Hardy brand. # the final deletion. Which Matt replied, "I will castrate you before I delete your ass." # the final deletion. By the way, go check out the Rack. Not the Rack. WTR Riffs. The final deletion. Now available at wildtalkradio.com. Shameless plug. Stevie Richards. "Just caught up with all my email." # the final deletion. Alright, the hashtag is, get a film drunk. Pr- Pretty in Pink Champagne, Tango and Smash, Irish Whiskey, Tango, Foxtrot, Fight Pub, When Harry Met Sidewalk, Tequila Mockingbird, There's Something About a Bloody Mary, She Drinks Like a Fish Named Wanda. Those are those. WWE Creative Ish. The success of the Final Deletion is proof that there is a place for drugs in pro wrestling. Hashtag TNA awful. Luke Thomas. Boo, UDC, why don't you fight recklessly in a bout where your purse has been cut in half and you have everything to lose? Hashtag just bleed. ProWrestling.net. Roman sucks, stand him up, Chance. ProWrestling.net. Is this as close as we'll ever get to Brock Lesnar versus Samoa Joe? EC3. Please chug beers and smoke cigarettes. Hashtag UFC 200. Dave Easton. This fight ends with a run-in by Randy Orton hitting an RKO out of nowhere. Book it. UFC 200. Katie Lindendahl. I keep waiting for the lights to go out and The Undertaker to come out. Hashtag UFC 200. James Caldwell. A body slam challenge has broken out at UFC 200. James Storm. Dear 5:30 a.m. We are no longer friends. You and an early morning. Suck it. Sincerely, not your friend anymore. James.
When the hell was he ever friends with 5:30 in the morning?
When he hasn't gone to sleep then.
I don't even think he was friends with it even then.
Apparently, they were friends for a while. He did have a kid, remember this.
That doesn't mean it was his friend. By the way, congratulations to James Storm and his wife. Apparently, they're having another child.
Yes, they are.
So, congratulations to them.
His part was easy.
And apparently, so is Mick Jagger. He's supposed to be a dad again at age 72.
Jesus. Tyler Breeze. Breeze fact. Sami Zayn has never beat me at NXT TakeOver. Hashtag 1-0. Kind of cool now that Ari Gold now owns the UFC. Says Sean. Zip Coulter. Good morning at WWE Universe. Downloaded the Pokemon app. Tried it. Already quit. If Squirtle isn't right outside my door, forget it.
Oh, poor Dutch. He can't get around well these days.
On the Dutch Mantel account. Got the Pokemon app this morning. Already quit. Anything that requires me to travel past my driveway can't be a fun activity. Just saying. So he yells it as Zeb and is calm about it as Dirty Dutch. The 700 level. The Pokemon game is incredibly realistic. I got to the gym, didn't know what to do, and just went home. Richard Triafo. Cannot wait to see the near the beginning of the downloading is buffering. Hashtag Raw. Hashtag Wyatt's. Hashtag New Day. Three Man Booth. Rusev and Sheamus have a temporary truce. They have bonded over their mutual dislike of Long Island. Hashtag Raw. Crystal Law. Pokemon Go players are like real Donald Trump supporters. Nobody actually knows one. Apparently, there are a ton of them out there. Pretty much accurate on that one. So, former guest of the show, Ethan Carter III, did some fantasy booking, Lindsay.
Did he?
He did. What would the tail of the tape look like in a potential Bray Wyatt versus Broken Matt Hardy match? For Bray, you have fireflies. But for Matt, you have fireworks. Supposedly, advantage Bray Wyatt. I would say that's true.
Yeah, that is true.
Rocking chair versus dilapidated boat. He went with Matt. It's now named Scar's Guard, by the way. The boat. Braun, Harper, and Rowan versus Revy, the Scribe, and Senior Benjamin, who apparently counts as three Rowans. So advantage Matt. I'm still trying to figure out the math between Benjamin and Rowans. It's a little confusing. We have the Choir of the Spooky Children versus King Maxwell. Advantage Bray. Southern Accent versus No Effing Idea, Matt. Pickaxe versus Lawnmower, Bray. Swamp Beard versus Weird White Striped Hair, Bray. Lantern versus Vanguard 1. Matt, interesting tale of the tape.
I just like how Senior Benjamin is worth three Rowans.
Yeah, I know.
It's hilarious.
Matt Hardy goes, there's no fantasy in facing my broken brilliance. Only nightmare. Heed me, Brother Nero Wyatt and Brother Nero Ethan.
Is it your Brother Nero now?
He's getting rid of all the Brother Neros. And finally, Big E. Big ups to David Allen style for whipping up our ESPYs looks on short notice. I promised him my firstborn. He is an accident. Because, you know, he owes other children out there everywhere. But that's Tweet of the Week.
Well, this is your thing, so I'm going to let you lead off.
The draft is coming this Tuesday. Isn't everybody excited?
Yay.
But my first question to you. Who should be taken number one overall? Don't say Bray Wyatt.
No. It's not going to be Bray Wyatt. It's either going to be Dean or Roman or Seth. I think that will be number one.
Do you really think Roman would be number one based on everything?
Stranger crap has happened. I mean, it could be that they ignore the suspension altogether and they just push Roman right out of the gate from when he gets back. That's because here's the deal. Or is Roman even on the table for the draft?
Roman's on the table.
Well, he's suspended though.
But he could be one of them. He's going to be drafted. He has to be drafted because the suspension ends up the next day or so. After
right.
The draft.
but is he eligible for draft on Tuesday, or does he, or are they doing like a secondary and third draft like they used to on that next day? That's the question. When is Roman eligible, you know, in storyline terms for the draft?
See, that brings up an interesting scenario, because this goes back to 2002 when the first draft happened, and Stone Cold Steve Austin had, you know, lost that WrestleMania, and it took his first leave of absence for a few weeks. And they did not draft Steve Austin. He returned the following week, and they were sort of wondering if he would, which brand would he go to. He stayed on Raw, but it was one of those things, where would he go? I don't think they're going to do that to Roman. I think they're going to draft him to a brand. I would assume it's Raw, but I can see the way they've handled it, they've kept him in the story. They have not taken him out of any story. So he still, his name keeps being mentioned on TV. So even though he's not there, I still think they'll draft him high. I think he was supposed to be the first overall pick or number two overall pick, depending on who had the top pick. But I say Roman is sort of gonna, he'll be on the telecast, he'll be drafted, is the best way to put it. Because basically you can always put it, you got a steal by getting Roman Reigns at whatever position you got him in. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
As I sit here, I've been talking the whole time, but I've been on mute, but yeah. No, I get it. I get that. It's just in terms of storyline, because obviously you've been mentioning Roman the entire time. You've explained what happened with Roman, where he is, kind of been making him eat crow a little bit.
Which has backfired, by the way.
Which has backfired.
Like, the Rollins report totally backfired. Everyone laughed instead of felt sorry for him. Just saying.
I'm one of the people that laughed because, honestly, it was funny.
It was funny.
I'm sorry. I know what it was meant to do, but it was funny.
It was funny.
We're all a bunch of a-holes like that.
Yeah. All right. So that handles the Roman Reigns situation. You say Dean or Roman or someone. I can see John Cena's got to be up there early. AJ Styles has to be up there early. There's no way to do, you know, but here's the thing. Shane's first pick could be an interesting, and he's all about change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making things happen. Doing something different.
Bray what, Wyatt.
I can top your Bray Wyatt.
You want to top my Bray Wyatt? I'm pretty sure he won't like that. Pretty sure Bray likes to be on top.
He does like to be on top. He likes to mount. I know this. But for Shane to make a big splash and to make the person seem like a big deal on his first night, Finn Balor's the number one pick for SmackDown.
No, I wouldn't do it like that.
Why not?
No, that's not how Finn should debut.
Well, how should Finn debut?
When I were talking about this, and she made an interesting point of it should be Kevin Owens is taunting AJ, and Owens goes, remember how I said this wasn't your club, and that's how Finn walks out.
Yeah, that's a good idea in premise. It won't happen, even though Kevin Owens was wearing the Finn Balor t-shirt on SmackDown.
He's a fanboy.
He is a fanboy. No, but I could see, like, to make a big splash. Forget the, you know, the club stuff. But it would be a big deal if Finn Balor was the number one pick.
It would be a huge deal, but part of me really doesn't want to see Finn Balor debut like that.
Well, I've got some bad news. He's going to debut like that. He's going to be drafted.
Fail.
Because that's the idea for him. So, that's the number one pick. The question remains, who will be general managers of the brand? It's being reported based off of one headline, because, you know, there's one phrase, Yes Movement, that Daniel Bryan could be the general manager of SmackDown. Though I did love him as the commentator on the Cruiserweight Classic, which would be an awkward situation if you have him doing the commentating and then being also a general manager. It would seem weird. So part of me doesn't believe that it's going to be Daniel Bryan. I think they were just going by the fact that the fan did the yes points on Raw when Shane got SmackDown. I think that's sort of what they were going for, but you never know. If you were the person behind it, who would you have as the general manager of SmackDown?
Taker. Oh my god, it's Taker.
It is Taker's show.
I've always wanted to see Taker in a GM, more authority role. I've always felt like as he transitions out of wrestling and he moves away from it, and when I say out of wrestling, I mean out of in-ring action, that he could go into something like commentating, he could be a mentor, he could be a manager, he could be a general manager. He could have a visual presence on the show without having to wrestle. And if you think about The Undertaker in terms of the WWE, He's the conscience of the company. He's been called that in the past, where he's not good, he's not evil at this point, he's both. But he has his moral standards, and he holds everyone to them, and it's very black and white. There is no gray. There is no, yeah, well, maybe. It's no, you either did it or you didn't do it, and you're going to pay accordingly. And I would just be really curious to see how Taker would handle that, because he's kind of incorruptible. If you really think about The Undertaker, he's really incorruptible.
He really, really is.
Because it's like, think about it. You know, it's like you threaten The Undertaker, and Taker's like,
please.
Please, bitch, please. You know, so it would bring a different character to the company, and plus it would create an awkward dynamic with Shane. Because here's the whole deal. So Shane and Steph get to pick their general managers. But if Vince doesn't like their general managers...
No, if they don't pick one, he'll name one.
Or if they don't pick one...
He's going to name one.
He's going to name one.
Yes.
And it's something that it keeps Taker on TV, it keeps him relevant, it keeps him with the product, and it satisfies a contract requirement for Taker, which I think Taker has to appear once a year.
Well,
he just have to wrestle.
He has to have wrestle one match a year.
Well, he can do that. Or they can alter the contract or whatever. But it keeps him around. That's if he wants to stay around. But I think Taker would be in for being, you know, doing something like that, because then he could be a mentor. He could be the locker room leader, or he could take a step back and he could let the new locker room leaders take over, and he could offer advice, and he could just sort of start to enjoy being retired from the in-ring, because as we've all heard, supposedly his last match was with Shane. Whether that's true or not, we don't know. But I do want to see the tension between Taker and Shane. That's sort of unresolved. Well, yeah, Taker beat Shane, but Shane got what he wanted anyway. So it was a really moot point for WrestleMania. And what does that create for Taker and Shane?
So I just thought of something. And it plays into the Vince McMahon thing. So Shane and Steph announced general managers on Raw, right? And the idea of the premise is, you know, they get to pick theirs. What if Vince is an evil, evil person and flips it? So whoever Shane picked for SmackDown puts on Raw and vice versa.
He could do that.
That would be an interesting twist, because they're picking the people they would get along with. But to create tension, you flip the script.
Well, if that's the case, then we know it's not going to be Hunter, because Shane and Hunter will not work together in real life.
But imagine the tension if it were.
Dude, somebody would die.
Someone would die. It would be amazing. It would be on live TV every Tuesday night on SmackDown. Be amazing.
But you see, I can see it as, like I said, Vince not liking their choice, and Vince saying, no, I want this person.
Right. So
because it's Vince.
It is Vince. For things like that, I don't want to see Booker T.
No, I don't want to see Booker T.
I don't want to see Teddy Long. I'm over the Holla Holla player tag team match. We got it. He had his run.
I love all the different general managers of the past for all their various qualities. I want to see somebody
new.
Different.
New. I want something different, yes.
I want someone that represents kind of everything. And if you look at the new era and you look at the possibilities, it's like, you could do Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan, I think, would be difficult as a general manager just because of the popularity factor. He would be great for heels.
He'd be great for heels. Kevin, he'd be great for Kevin Owens and AJ Styles and Seth Rollins, poking at them.
But the issue is with babyfaces, because he would outshine babyfaces. And people would want to see Daniel Bryan. And also, I think Daniel Bryan is trying to sort of tiptoe his way back into wrestling. So I don't know if he would want to do the management role full time.
Right, because
it's only one show a week, but still.
But it's every week he's constantly going to TV, and he's back in that routine of going to the show.
Yeah, and I don't think he's ready to do that.
Going to Florida once a month, that's fine. Because he's calling wrestling, and it's once a month. And it's only till September.
Well, and also the difference between what he's doing now and being the general manager of SmackDown or Raw would be there is the temptation to get back in the ring.
Right. Right now, there's no temptation, even though he would totally be in the Cruiserweight Classic if he could wrestle.
If they would let him, he would be there.
It's all the guys he could get along with.
It's all his buddies, man. He'd be like, let me in.
Yeah.
The thing for me is I liked when they did Corporate Kane. I liked how they took the Kane character and they did something completely 180 with it, where they just flipped the script on it. They made him this normal guy with the psychotic laying underneath. That's kind of something I had wanted to see him do, because I knew he could do it. I don't want to say that they do that with Taker, but I want to see a different side of Taker, because to me it's like it gives him a chance to sort of reinvent himself that one last time and take it from an in-ring character where it's spooky and you're not really sure what's going on with this guy and he's kind of scary and he's intimidating, and bring all of that, like bring all of it and put it with the corporate version of The Undertaker, where you just have him walk out in a suit.
An all black suit.
But a suit. And he just stands there. And it's like he's 7 feet tall. Intimidating as hell. And who's going to screw with him?
You really... There isn't anyone who could really screw with him. The only person, Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar or Bray Wyatt.
And even yeah, they're the only two, really. But even Bray Wyatt would be a little hesitant.
No, because Bray's dealt with him twice. So I think... The bloom's gone off the rose on that one. I think Bray would have a lot of fun poking at Taker. But Taker's a good foil for heels. He's a good foil for faces. He has the popularity, but it's not overwhelming.
Especially if you do the big evil American badass style talking and stuff.
Not full out like that.
But not rest in peace. But I'm saying talking, not look. I'm just talking. Just straight,
yeah.
Straight promo style.
Where he's more himself, where he's sounding more... Where basically you take Mark Calloway and you take The Undertaker, you mash them together, you stick them in a suit, and you push him out in front of the crowd.
Yeah.
And you have him take everything of who he is and who The Undertaker is, and combine it into one, where he's just really this almost condescending asshole. Because when The Undertaker is not doing dark, spooky, scary Taker... That's what that character is.
Yeah.
He's just an asshole. It's brilliant. It's hilarious. It's awesome. I mean, you don't believe me, just go back and watch, like, the American Badass era of The Undertaker.
Available now at WWENetwork.com.
That was the era that when I started watching, that's what The Undertaker was. He wasn't Ministry of Darkness. He wasn't the original Deadman. He wasn't any of that. He was this dude on a bike doing... chewing tobacco.
And I'm at the point where he's now gone. He's shaved. He's cut his hair, and now he's really the heel. Right now, he was feuding with Rob Van Dam. He's on the motorcycle. He has the hardcore title. That's where I'm at in the network series. But yeah, that's the Taker you need.
See, I always liked him when it was that stretch right before he did the Buried Alive match with Vince in like 2003. Mm-hmm. Whereas like he wasn't a good guy. He wasn't a bad guy.
He was the guy.
He was the guy. He was just in between.
Uh-huh.
But he was like, he would stand up for Steph, you know? So it's like, he's not playing the ultra baby face. He's sort of almost playing an anti-hero, I think is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You have that version of The Undertaker come out.
Oh, I know.
And plus for him, it's like, he can make his presence felt without having to really be there.
All you need is the gong.
All you need is the gong.
A gong, a green screen, you're good.
Plus, just for the amusement factor of it, The Undertaker gets named GM of SmackDown, Kane comes strolling in his office and hits him up for a job.
Can I be your number two? Can I be your number two? Please? Can I be assistant to The Undertaker?
You know, I have some great qualifications as the director of operations of WWE. No.
But I have this recommendation from The Undertaker. But
and that's when he's like,
what?
What?
What recommendation? What?
I didn't write that. What?
But you signed it. I don't know what you're talking about. Get out of my office.
I feel like it's another way. I'm sure everybody hates this idea, but to me, it's like, that's what I would really love to see if you're going to do a general manager, is do something like that with Taker. And take someone that has that authority to them, that's sort of incorruptible. Because that's what happens to all the general managers, is like eventually they all get corrupted and they all go off and do their own thing. And I'm just really tired of that.
Right. And that's a good one for Shane. For Stephanie, you're going to get someone who she can yell at. That's what it's going to end up being, which is why I don't think it's going to be Hunter. Because Stephanie's going to be, she likes to be dominant. She likes to yell at people. So what they're going to do, they're going to probably find her someone who she can yell at. Like a Brad Maddox type, but, you know, not Brad Maddox, as it were.
Because he doesn't work for the company anymore?
He doesn't work for the company anymore, but you get what I'm saying. Someone she can belittle.
Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree with that. That will be who it is. It's not going to be Hunter. I think they're trying to keep Hunter off TV as much as possible. Though now that they're doing the brand split and Shane and Steph are going to be on separate shows, I would bet Hunter shows up more. But
there's no need to be. Right now, there's no need to be bring Hunter on TV because everyone got tired of the Triple H movement. It was a thing. Everyone, remember, hashtag Triple H movement still lives on. He's a man. But anyway, it's besides
the point. Yeah, but he's got to take care of NXT. He has his own kids to worry about. But yeah, I mean, in terms of Steph, I don't know who I would pick as a general manager for her. Just because it is somebody that she's going to have to be able to exert power and control over.
Right. And for Raw, especially for Raw, that general manager will eventually be fired. If you pick The Undertaker, he'll quit before he gets fired. But again, every general manager has been fired. So it'll probably be someone who at some point will get fired for whatever reason. Which leads to part of me is like, would they do Daniel Bryan? I don't know if they would want to fire Daniel Bryan. I don't think Shane could fire him, but Vince could. But that's a whole other thing. So it'll be interesting to see who they actually pick as the general managers. Kind of looking forward to Monday to see who actually they do. I want something. I want change. I want something different. I want it to feel special. You know.
I think they're going to do something different. I don't think they're going to go with the status quo. I will give you that.
Because if they give us the status quo, it's like, oh, okay. Michael Cole is the general manager of Raw now. What?
No.
What? Makes no sense. Jerry the King Lawler is like, no. Give us someone different. Hell, Kurt Angle would be fun. I know he was the general manager of SmackDown a long time ago. Kurt would be fun as the general manager. Because he's a big enough star, but he's a legend at this point. So he kind of fits like the Taker role, where he's a legend who can play both sides of it. So I wouldn't be surprised. They have talked to Kurt. So if he came in as a general manager, I really wouldn't be surprised. Is he my number one choice? No, but it's been a decade since he's been in the company, so it would be different.
It would be different, and also in terms of angle, just the tension between him and Steph.
Again, since I've been watching that stuff on the network at night, as I fall asleep, their dynamic was awesome. They had some of the greatest chemistry ever. It's fantastic.
Agreed.
So, a couple of quick little things about the draft. So besides Finn Balor, who else do we see coming up from NXT? Are we going to see Nia Jax make the debut?
I don't think Nia's ready.
I don't think she's ready either, but I wouldn't be surprised if she's picked.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would be disappointed if she was, because I feel like Nia's really coming into her own in NXT, and I want to see her develop. I want to see her grow more before she comes up, because they have something special with Nia Jax, and I just don't want her to get ruined because of the draft. I can see Asuka coming up. I can see Bayley coming up. They're not going to pull Carmella just yet, because again, Carmella's just now finding her stride. They'll probably pull Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Alexa Bliss gets pulled up. I would. Actually, she would fit perfectly on the main roster. She's ready.
She's ready to go.
She's ready to go. She'll be good. Could she use more time down the NXT? Yes. But
I think it's where she could use a title run, but they're not going. She's just not going to get it in NXT. I think she would be better served to get it on the main roster. For the guys, Finn,
but hold on, I want to make a point about Nia Jax.
Okay.
I don't want her to become Baron Corbin, because if they bring her up now, she will be Baron Corbin, and that will be a disaster, because Baron Corbin should not be up on the main roster right now. He needed another year in NXT. All right.
But they wanted him up then.
They wanted him up, but, and I don't think Bayley gets drafted.
It's time for Bayley to come up.
I don't.
Unless they're going to do something really special with Bayley, it's time for Bayley to come up.
I know, okay. She will come up in August. She will not be drafted. She'll be a hot free agent signee the night after SummerSlam.
Well, let's not forget Sasha Banks is looking for a partner for Battleground.
Paige.
Mm.
I know, but I'm just saying. Anyway, continue for the guys.
I can see the revival coming up.
American Alpha for sure.
American Alpha. I say they hold Joe down there a little bit longer.
Joe staying down for a little bit longer.
Let's see, as I go through the roster, because why not? Where are all the NXT people?
In the NXT section?
Where is the NXT section? Well, it's all mixed together.
I don't see Shinsuke coming up yet. They're not ready.
No, Shinsuke's going to hold the title.
I could.
Shinsuke will take the title off of...
A name to look out for, even though he's probably working TakeOver, Austin Aries could be brought up.
Mm.
He could. I'm not saying he would, but I could see him coming up. Would be interesting, they just draft Eric Young to a roster. That'd be interesting, and him bypass NXT. That'd be interesting. I don't see that happening, but I see Bobby Roode staying down because he's just getting on the NXT roster. He'll be down there for 6 months, and then probably be brought up around WrestleMania time.
Let's see, Tommy is probably going to stay down there. He's just coming back. A left field choice could be No Way Jose, because apparently they're really high on No Way Jose, but I feel like he's going to be the road of Fandango.
Or Adam Rose.
Or Adam Rose, yeah. Where it's just like, oh, okay. They might bring up Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, Ty Dillinger, I could see him. He's done his all he could do in NXT, bring him up. He's a solid mid-card guy.
I would go ahead and just bring up Mojo Rawley. Put him together with Ryder and see what happens. Because, I mean, it's like, it's kind of a now or never thing, it feels like, for Mojo Rawley.
I would agree with you on that one.
He's not on NXT TV, or he's rarely on NXT TV. It seems like they've done everything they're going to do with him, so it's like, if that's the case, just bring him up. Bring him up and put him in a tag team and see what happens. Because their focus is shifting to the tag team division and rebuilding that, so you want to keep as many teams together as possible, and you want to create as many teams as you can.
Pretty much.
Competition.
Yeah. Even though they're probably going to break up some teams, which would be the dumbest idea, but they're going to probably do it anyhow.
Okay, say this now. The Wyatts go as a package. You hear me, WWE? Are you within the sound of my voice? You do not split Bray Wyatt from his children. Do you understand me? Enzo and Cass go as a package. You do not split those two up. Don't do it. Especially Enzo and Cass. Even though I'm sure they would be fine without each other.
No, they wouldn't.
It would be magic. They're magic together.
Team to look out for to be split up? You say Us, I say O.
Yeah, I would say the Usos. I'm thinking maybe New Day.
Be dumb idea to split up New Day, but it could happen. But I could see the Usos splitting up. They would be stupid if they split up Breezango, because Breezango has actually been a good unit together.
Social Outcast probably get split up.
Probably.
They better not split the Dudleys. They did that last time. It was a huge failure.
Okay, here's what I want on Tuesday. I want someone to make a Reverend Devon joke towards Devon.
It may happen.
Just because it would be funny.
Shining Stars may get split up just because they're a huge just failure in WWE.
They were a bust for my fantasy team.
So I would say they get split up and one goes to Raw, one goes to SmackDown, and they get pushed as singles.
It's possible.
They might keep Golden Truth together.
Since they spent like 6 months putting them together, God, it would suck if they broke them up that quickly.
I say Kalisto and Sin Cara stay together. I say the Ascension stays together.
Actually, you could break up the Lucha Dragons. Because Kalisto would be a good star on his own.
Yeah, club stays together.
They'd be dumb to do that. Break them up.
Let's see. Where are the other tag team people?
But, so that's just some of the teams they could split up. They could split up the Ascension. You never know. That said, on SmackDown, there will be a SmackDown pre-show starting at 7 o'clock. There will be a post-show following the thing. And there will be a second screen experience as the show goes on the WWE Network. So get your apps ready. You can watch a second screen draft special as the show's going on. I'm looking forward to it. It's all draft coverage. I like the draft coverage. Just saying. I'm a draft geek, so just, Anyway, that's besides the point. But the draft is happening. It happens Tuesday night on USA Network. We will talk all about it on the show in some manner, whether it's the actual show or an extra. Who knows? But we're going to have it for you, and we'll give our takes and see where everyone falls. I see Sammy and Kevin splitting up because they want to do that. And I see Roman and Seth staying together, and Dean will be on the other brand.
Yeah, I can see that.
But with that, I say we take our final time out of the evening and come back, talk to the legendary Pat Patterson.
Yeah, so you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. It was my life, my time, my rights, my rhymes, my grind, my struggle, hustle, sweat, and my blood, too. A breath and smell of fear, I smell a lot, my competitors flex here. When they smelled I was hot, I want it all. Excess, the sex, and much success. Stress up, I want it all, no less, so come on.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
to the shocking moment.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa, I mean, it's amazing.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner. Bo, please.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE. And I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
It has returned.
I'm looking for Sarah Card. Oh God, wrong house.
This is so not safe.
WTR Riffs presents the final deletion.
Oh my god, there's like an army of drones!
Ah!
Oh dear god!
That's not the kind of riding you're supposed to do on a lawnmower.
Jeff,
no.
Okay, I'm starting to think that these guys have more money than sense.
What am I looking at?
Jeffrey Nero, what are you doing?
Oh, this is a bad idea. This is a really bad idea.
Why do you always try to kill your brother with fireworks?
Available now at wildtalkradio.com.
Thank God, it's over.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Presented as always by Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to YouTube.com/MVG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. And now joining us is the one, the only, one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time. The first ever Intercontinental Champion. The one, the only, Pat Patterson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Right off the bat, wanted to mention that while reading the book, you could feel like the honest love you have for life, wrestling, and your longtime partner, Louis. Is that something you were trying to get across in the book?
In the book, I was trying to get across that not so much about the wrestling, you know. I won the championship, but this guy beat me in 1941. And, you know, that was not the book about. It's about being gay and coming out. You know, and having such a hard time all these years to hide, it's not fair, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I over the years, the word got out, obviously.
Right.
But I wanted to come out. I wanted to say it.
Yeah, and you hear that in the book, and just by reading it, you just feel the love you had for the business and for life in general. that was the point I was sort of trying to get across.
Oh, the business. It is my life. I love it. You know, it's just the greatest thing that ever happened to me. That's what I wanted to be when I was young. And even now, today, I give my point of view about a certain talent, and I have a good point of view, and they listen, and I get good ideas. And when you work with Vince McMahon for so many years, you know, you got to be creative. You got to come up with ideas. And sometimes Vince and I would go deep, you know, we'd go and argue and debate on a certain subject. And I wasn't there just to be a yes man. I give my point of view and I stood on it, you know, like the Royal Rumble. When I came up with the idea of the Royal Rumble, Vince thought it was a stupid idea. And I said, it's not. It's going to work. I said, oh, my God, give me a break. He would not want to do it, you know. Well, it's one of our best pay-per-view that we have every year.
It's one of my favorites of all time.
Oh, it is. It is. It's fun. Even the wrestlers like it. You know, it's very interesting. And I work very hard at getting talent back. Some of these guys got fired over the years. You know, they were talented, but they do stupid things. And I fought from some of these guys that they would never come back to WWE. One of them was Shawn Michaels, and Vince didn't want to hear nothing about him. That he is dead. Shawn Michaels was not coming back. Every once in a while, I would bring up his name. And Shawn Michaels never called and said, Pat, can you get me in? I never called. I just wanted to convince Vince. And Shawn Michaels was back. And Bret Hart was another one. And Daniel Bryan was another one. I fought for them. I didn't tell them I did that for you. They found out on their own. You know what I'm saying? I was fighting for these guys because everybody makes a mistake at one time or another, especially if you're talented. Come on, you know. So most of these guys, they need advice. Sometimes you got to give them the right advice. Sometimes it goes in one ear or the other, and some of them, they get it, you know?
Yeah.
I love it.
It's yeah.
Like a mother, for Christ's sake, for these guys.
You mentioned in your book that you wanted to get the Stanley Cup trophy made for all the wrestlers. I believe you called it something like the Patterson Cup.
Oh, yeah, for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I would
like to have a cup like the Stanley Cup and put the name of each wrestler that won in that year and the next year. It would be like a Stanley Cup. I've been fighting for that, and I hope I'm going to try again because people like to walk around and they look at it, they'll touch it. Oh, yeah, that was Shawn Michaels. I won that, you know?
Yeah.
Nice. It'd be very nice. And whoever wins the Royal Rumble, you give them a trophy there, right there in the middle of the ring, you know?
Yeah, like in every sport, you get a trophy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
Do you have a favorite Royal Rumble memory you could share with us?
My favorite Royal Rumble? I think one of the biggest moments is, I think it was Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. They both went over the top rope, and they didn't touch the floor or something like that. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was Luger and Bret Hart. That was who it was.
Yeah. Another thing, too, the Iron Man match. You seem to be very familiar with the business, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Iron Man match. That was a no-no. Vince didn't want to do that at all.
Right.
But get it. Forget it. Two little guys for 1 hour? Come on, forget about it on a pay-per-view. I really convinced them. It took me a while, but they did it. And my God, that was so good. I was sitting in the audience. I wanted to feel that moment. And I was actually crying how much I enjoyed that match. You don't think those two kids were happy after? Oh, my God. That's something I'll never forget.
Yeah. You bring up Shawn Michaels. You brought up Bret Hart. And you saw great potential in them. Who right now do you see that has that same type of potential?
Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler? You see him as the guy? As the guy?
You know, I see it big time, you know. But he came a long way, this kid, you know. My point of view is you got guys like, okay, you got Hogan, you got Steve Austin, all these characters, big, you know, bigger than life or whatever. But those little guys, people love them, you know, and they're talented, you know, and that's what makes me feel like, come on, you know, these guys can do nice things too. Some of these guys, you know, they need advice, they need help, and that's what they need, you know. And some of them listen, some of them don't. So, but I do it anyway. So
yeah, you just give them the advice anyway, whether they take it or not. You're at least giving to them, so it's out there for them.
And you know, And you know, you can watch some of the best wrestler in the ring, and sometimes who's going to tell a top guy that what you do in that ring looks like shit? What do you mean? I've been doing this all my life. And the shit, no one wants to tell a top guy that the move that he does is the shit. And I do. I tell them, you know. And I remember years ago, I was wrestling in San Francisco, and a good friend of mine, Pedro Morales, is there. Amigo, you're the best in the world, but that what you do in the corner, it's no good. And look, what? He says, I'm telling you, don't do that no more. I thought I was happy that somebody would tell me that something that I do, it doesn't look good. So I learned my lesson from that, and I do that with a lot of talent.
The brand split is coming up for the company. Who on the roster can you see benefiting the most with more exposure from the brand split?
Well, I know I have no idea. No idea what they're going to do and what's going to happen. But I'll be there. I'll be there a week before that, and I'll find out what's going on. But I don't know. I don't have a clue right now.
I meant more, who do you see benefiting from more exposure?
But it's hard now. I would have to think of all the talent that we have. Who would be good to go here and go there? I don't know. There might be some, I think some new faces would be good too, you know. A lot of good talent at NXT, and maybe some of the talent could be moving in there too. But I don't know about the exchange. Don't know. Maybe Seth Rollins and maybe some of those three guys in the poverty separate by them and that maybe, you know.
I see what you're saying. You mentioned in your book that you've gone down to NXT. What is a piece of advice you could give someone who is trying to break into the business?
Someone that could get in the business?
Yeah, just like a piece of advice who is, you know, for someone who is starting in the business.
Well, first of all, you have to have the talent for it, you know. And there's a lot of people all around the world that send their resume and their look, their photo and everything else. And if the photo that they have and their resume, if it sounds good, they'll bring them in and try them out. You know, and there's a lot of guys that went and after 2 or 3 months, they disappeared. You know, it's not them. It's not for them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them patch on really good, you know. I like to go to NXT and I watch their matches and stuff like that, you know. And I don't want to make them nervous because when Pat comes there, they're, oh my God, Patterson, you know, they work hard. And after the match, I give them some advice, you know, but I'm not in charge of this. I just go there as a point of view. And there's so many good kids there, you know, they have talent. So
yeah,
do some big stars.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you on that one. You know, you have Finn Balor, Samoa Joe's, and all the like. There's a lot of talent down there.
Yeah.
So by reading the book, we learned that you like to travel and take cruises. Where's, you know, some place you would like to take a cruise that you've never been to before?
You're asking me where I would like to go, some place I've never been?
Yes.
Well, I've been just about everywhere that I want to go. God, I went to Israel, I went to Egypt, out to the pyramid, and I traveled in Europe, you know, in France and Germany and England and God, you know, France and Japan and Australia. God, oh my God, you know, you can't buy that, you know. And it's funny because what I tell some of these guys sometimes, you know, we travel, it's like, hey, you get to see Rome, you get to see Paris, and it doesn't cost you a dime to fly there, and you get pay on top of that. And you, how can you beat that?
you really can't.
It's true. Like, you know, like my three favorite city in the world for me,
mm-hmm,
is Montreal, San Francisco, and Sydney, Australia. That's three beautiful cities.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you travel all over the world, and you get paid. Come on, you know. And I know it's like anything else. After a while, after so many years, oh, God, I got to go to Tokyo again. Oh, boy, you know.
Yeah.
And when you've never done that, it's exciting, you know. Wow, look at this. Wow, look at that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Right. And I like cruises.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Where would you like to take a cruise to?
I did one for 29 days, so that was enough. 29 days.
That's a long time.
You're damn right. I was singing karaoke every night.
All right, everybody. That's the man, Pat Patterson. Check out his book, available August 9th, called Accept It, How the First Gay Superstar Changed WWE. Once again, thank you, Pat, for joining us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, buddy.
Once again, a big, huge thanks to Pat Patterson for joining us here this week on the show. Again, everyone, get his brand new book, Accept It, How the First Gay Superstar Change WWE, which will be available in bookstores on August 9th. But that will do it for us here on The Rack, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, check us out on Facebook and Twitter at Rack Radio Show, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show, where you'll be able to find exclusive WWE 2K16 videos. They'll be created around SummerSlam. Check them out now. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Rack Radio Show. Saturday night, midnight-ish, at CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, at CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and CBRadioLive.com. Hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, it's another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and the Omega. They'll be previewing WWE Battleground and the draft as well. At WTR Sunday night on Facebook and Twitter, go to WrestleTalkRadio.com to vote in the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment as we get down to the final four. We'll be back for the Raw Post Show this Monday night, live at 11:10 p.m. Eastern, recapping everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw, and right back here next Thursday night for the WWE Battleground Preview and WWE Draft Review, live at 10 p.m. Eastern for The Rack. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Get us on iTunes and Stitcher, search Wild Talk Radio Network, and as always, we're on TuneIn Radio, search Wild Talk Radio Network. You can listen anywhere on the go. It's Wild Talk Radio Network on TuneIn Radio. You can follow Lindsay on Twitter at Lindsay Ward, LINSWARD. Check out her artwork at Behance.net/Lindsay Ward. Same as Twitter. Check out her website, PsychWardsDesigns.com. Thanks to Gerwick.net. Thanks to Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Check out his blog as well, MBG1211.wordpress.com. Thanks to TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. For Lindsay, I'm Rock. This has been another edition of the multi-time award-winning The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you next week, live across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say. Yes, it was my way. WildTalkRadio.com.